The Christian Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Chapter 20. The Application of the Point. Must we pray above all for saints? Well then, to those who, instead of praying for them, had rather make a prey of them. Isaiah 59, verse 15. Who, instead of praying for them, can curse them, perhaps not under the plain name of saints, but as fanatics, Puritans, or some other name of scorn, invented to cover their malice so they can devour and tear them in pieces. The saints are a sort of people that none love, but those that are themselves such. The righteous are an abomination to the wicked. It is a sect everywhere spoken against. The feud began at the first between Abel and Cain, and so spread over the whole world. One generation takes up the Colgers, C-U-D-G-E-L-S, against them as another lays them down. Hamilcar, H-A-M-I-L-C-A-R, bequeathed his hatred against the Romans to his son Hannibal. So is the feud transmitted by the wicked from one generation to another against the saints. Nothing can quench their wrath. Let the saint be ever so wise, meek, affable, and bountiful. Yet this, that he is a Christian, is enough to blot all in the wicked world's thoughts. No near relation can wear off their spite. Michael cannot repress her scornful spirit, but jeers her husband to his face for his zeal before the Lord. In a word, no benefit which accrues to the wicked by the saints can make them lay down their hatred. They are the cause of blessings to the families, towns, and kingdoms they live in, and yet the butt at which their inventum arrows are leveled. The whole city against Lot. So true and constant are the wicked to their own side. Tullegen tells us of some heathen husbands that like their wives, though loose and wanton, and lived with them, when such, before they were converted to Christianity. But when once they had embraced the faith, and thereby were made chaste, they put them away. Fathers that could bear undutiful, rebellious children, when once converted, turned them out of doors as any were reformed in their lives by turning Christians, so they became offenders. It were well if this were only the heathen sin, but by woeful experience we find that the true Christian hath not more cruel enemies in the whole world than some of his own name. The sharpest persecutions of the church have been by those that were in the church. Oh, what a dreadful account will such have to make in the great day who profess the name of Christ, yet hate his nature in the saints, who call Christ Lord, yet persecute his best, and destroy his most loyal subjects. These are the men who, above all others, shall feel the utmost of the Lord's fierce wrath in the day when he shall plead his people's cause and avenge himself on their adversaries. Be exhorted to this duty of praying for saints. You cannot do anything which God will take more kindly at your hands. He himself puts this petition into our mouths. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons. Isaiah 65:11. Joab knew that what he did in sending the woman of Tekoah to David with a petition wrapped up in a handsome parable for Absalom, the king's son. He knew the king's heart went strongly after him, and so the motion could not but be acceptable. And is not the Lord's heart gone after saints? The prayer for them, therefore, must needs come in good time, when it shall find the heart of God set upon the very thing thou askest. This was it that God was so pleased with in Daniel chapter 9, verse 22 and 23. Now in your prayers for the saints, among other things, first pray for their lives. They are such a blessing where they live that they seldom fall, but the earth shakes under them. It is commonly a prognostic of an approaching evil when God takes them away by death. Jeroboam had but one son in whom some good was found. He died, and then the ruin of his father's family followed. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 13. When Augustine died, then Hippo falls into the enemy's hands. If the wise man be gone that preserved the city, no wonder if its end hastens. God makes way to let his judgments in upon the world by taking the saints out of it. When God chambers his children in the grave, a storm is at hand. Isaiah 26. It is of concern to do our utmost to keep them among us, especially when their number is so few, that we may say at once the prophet concerning Israel, we are as when they have gathered the summer fruits or the grape gleanings of the vintage. Micah 7:1. Did we indeed see them come up a stick in our young ones as they fall in the old, we might say, a blessing is in them. These would be as hope seeds, at least for the next generation. But when a wide branch is made, and few to step into it, it is omious. At Moses' death, Joshua stood up in his place, and it went well with Israel. But when Joshua died, and the generation rose up that had not seen the wonders God had done for his people, then went they to wreck a place. Judges 2, 9 and 10. Secondly, pray for their liberty and tranquility. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Psalms 122, verse 6. Jerusalem was the place for the public worship. Thither the tribes went up unto the testimony of Israel, and to give thanks unto the name of the Lord, verse 4. So that by praying for Jerusalem's peace is meant such serene times wherein the people of God might enjoy his pure worship without disturbance. The church hath always had her vicissitudes, but her winter commonly is longer than her summers. Yea, at the same time that the sun of peace brings day to one part of it, another is wrapped up in a night of persecution. Universal peace over all the churches is a great rarity, and where it is in any part of it enjoyed, some unkind cloud or other soon interposes. The church's peace, therefore, is set out by an half-hour silence, Revelations 8:1, when God gave the poor Jews a reviving after a tedious captivity by moving Cyrus to grant them liberty to go and rebuild the house of God. How soon did the storm rise and beat them from their work? One prince furthers them, another obstructs them. The gospel church, Acts 11, had a sweet breathing time of peace, but how long did it last? This short calm went before a sudden hurricane of persecution that fell upon them, chapter 12. Thus have the politic rulers of the world used the saints as their carnal interests seem to require, one while countenancing, another while suppressing them. There is no sort of people on earth can expect less favor from the world than the church. Their own safety therefore lies to engage God to espouse their cause. Thirdly, pray for love and unity among themselves. The persecuted sword is not at the church's throat among us, but are not Christians falling out amongst themselves? The question hath often been asked, why the word preach hath been no more effective to convert the wicked or to edify the saints. I believe one of the chief causes is the divisions among those that have made the greatest profession of the truth. Number one, for the saints it is no wonder they should thrive no more under the word, for the body of Christ is edified in love. Ephesians 4:12. The apostles themselves, when wrangling, got little good by Christ's sermon, or the sacrament itself administered by Christ unto them. One would have thought that such was a meal, in the strength thereof, as so many Elijahs, they might have gone a long journey, but alas, we see how weak they rise from it. One denies his master, and the rest in alarm forsake him. So unfit were they in such a temper to make a spiritual advantage of the best of means. Again, pray for the wicked. It is no wonder that the word prevails no more on them. The divisions that have arisen among those that call themselves saints have filled their hearts with prejudice against the whole truths and ways of God. Christ prays for the people's unity, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. John chapter 18, verse 21. What is oftener in the mouths of many profane wretches than this? We will believe them when they are all of one mind and come over to them, when they can agree among themselves. Who loves to put his head into a house on fire? This should stir up all that wish well to the gospel, to pray for the reunion of the divided hearts. Hot disputes will not do it. Prayer will, or nothing can. The God of peace can only set us at peace. If ever we are wise to agree, we must obtain our wisdom from above. This alone is pure and peaceable. End of chapter 20.